For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levickey. Virginia joins a nationwide pause on the Johnson & Johnson vaccine after six people nationwide developed serious blood clots after getting the shot, and one woman in Virginia died. Meanwhile, providers continue to administer the Pfizer and Moderna shots, and officials say they're safe, so be sure to get that vaccine when it's your turn. And in one sign that we're recovering from the pandemic, Virginia's tax revenue is up almost 20% compared to last year. This is the WMRA Daily for Wednesday, April 14th. Virginia is halting the use of all Johnson & Johnson vaccines while the federal government investigates rare reports of potentially dangerous blood clots among recipients of the vaccine. Virginia State Vaccination Coordinator Dr. Danny Avula said Tuesday morning that the state was halting use of the vaccine until the federal investigation is complete. He said that less than 15% of the shots that were scheduled to be given this week were from Johnson & Johnson, and vaccination clinics will continue with the Moderna and Pfizer vaccines. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention told the state health department Tuesday it's investigating whether a Virginia woman died from possible side effects from the J&J vaccine. The 45-year-old woman got the one-shot dose on March the 6th, developed symptoms 6 days later, and died March 18th from a brain hemorrhage. Officials have not released more personal information about who she was or where she lived. If you develop a severe headache, abdominal or leg pain, or shortness of breath within 3 weeks after getting the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, contact your healthcare provider or call 911 if it's a medical emergency. Health officials emphasize that overall, the vaccines are safe and very effective for the vast majority of people. So when it's your turn, be sure to get that vaccination. The latest revenue report from Virginia's Secretary of Finance shows general fund collections are up almost 20% compared to last year. Governor Ralph Northam says it's yet another sign that the Commonwealth is emerging from the pandemic and positioned to grow in the future.
One of my priorities when I took this job was to diversify our economy, knowing that we couldn't depend on just the military and government contracting, and we've been able to do that successfully. And I think the numbers that we're seeing now, the revenue that's up significantly in Virginia, is a result of diversifying our economy.
Most of the increased revenue came from strong growth in collections from sales taxes and recordation taxes. Two of the largest tax incentives in Virginia are about to end, but members of the General Assembly and the governor are divided about what to do with the money, which would have gone to subsidizing the coal industry. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports.
Over the last decade, taxpayers have forked over more than $300 million that's gone to coal mining companies as part of a tax credit designed to help production and employment. Now, lawmakers are deciding to end that credit. Republican Senator Bill Stanley says the late Senator Ben Chafin championed those credits and worked to modernize them.
The moment he's gone, so are these tax credits. With nothing more than a pat on the head to Southwest Virginia, maybe you'll get some of that money later for UVA-wise. No, we won't. You'll find another pet project for it. You'll find another way to send it to Northern Virginia, because y'all don't care about Southside and Southwest Virginia.
Governor Ralph Northam says he does care about Southwest Virginia, adding that he's worked to upgrade Interstate 81 and bring passenger rail to Christiansburg and hopefully even all the way to Bristol. The lawmakers rejected an amendment he added to the bill that would have directed the savings to UVA's College at Wise for new course offerings in renewable energy and data science.
My intentions have been genuine, and I've delivered on what I had promise, and to make comments like that on the floor that nobody cares about the Southwest are, I think, not constructive at all.
Northam says he'll sign the unamended version, giving lawmakers the ability to decide how they want to spend the new revenue, which is estimated to be about $6 million a year. Michael Pope.
Attorney General Mark Herring has directed his Office of Civil Rights to investigate the Windsor Police Department following that December traffic stop of an Army officer. A state police investigation is already underway. Herring's office is looking into whether the department has a pattern of misconduct. One of the officers has been fired over the incident. He is seen in body camera footage threatening and pepper spraying Lieutenant Karan Nazario. Mamie Locke is a state senator representing Hampton.
Why did it take it going viral for that man to be fired?
She was one of the lawmakers who helped push a new police reform provision through the General Assembly last year. It empowers Virginia's AG to investigate law enforcement agencies to identify and stop patterns of unconstitutional practices. Herring has also hired a team dedicated to identifying and overturning wrongful convictions in Virginia. Herring said Tuesday that he has hired two attorneys and an investigator. They all previously worked in Virginia Capital Defender's offices, which exclusively represent defendants facing the death penalty. Those offices began closing after Virginia banned capital punishment this year. The General Assembly passed a law last year making it easier for people who were wrongfully convicted to pursue their claims. Well, it's been nearly a year since Richmond removed more than a dozen city-owned Confederate monuments and iconography. Mayor LeVar Stoney wants to ensure that the city never displays symbols of hate again. Roberto Roldan from VPM in Richmond reports.
Mayor Stoney has introduced an ordinance to Richmond City Council that would bar the display of hate symbols on government property. The examples provided in the ordinance include neo-Nazi signs and the Confederate battle flag. Stoney says the ordinance is modeled after a similar New York state law.
The city will not give space to people or beliefs that endanger the lives of Black people, and in doing so, prohibit the healing process that our community so desperately needs.
Out of all of the city's Confederate monuments, only one still stands, the AP Hill statue in the Northside neighborhood. Stoney says they're hoping to begin removal this summer after working with descendants and historic preservationists to move Hill's remains from under the statue. Stoney's proposed ordinance will be taken up by a city council committee later this month.
Roberto Roldan reporting. Finally today, recovering from the pandemic will require a thoughtful approach, particularly for schools. The Virginia Department of Education has released a plan for regaining ground lost during the pandemic. Virginia Public Radio's Jad Khalil reports.
A department workgroup asked families and educators how to keep reopening schools and help students that had fallen behind during the pandemic. Almost 900 responded. On Tuesday, the workgroup made 10 big recommendations. There was a common theme. Make sure those with more need get attention. Low student-to-teacher ratios are one piece of guidance. Another is more counselors, social workers, and psychologists to address students' social and emotional needs. Flexibility is another common thread. The workgroup said schools should consider adjusting schedules or school calendars as they make their own specific plans. The workgroup is urging schools to keep an eye on equity, too. For example, it says to give special consideration to closing equity gaps when picking which subjects summer learning will focus on. The guidance applies to schools now and for the upcoming school year. I'm Jad Khalil.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks so much for listening. I hope you stay safely connected and enjoy your Wednesday.